How intriguing is that gospel reading where Jesus finds himself cornered by these Pharisees who are laying a trap for him, scripture says. And of course, Jesus is really very smart about it. He knows what's going on and he's able to navigate through this trap that they've laid for him. But the intrigue is equally high in today's first reading. We're talking about Cyrus. Cyrus, this Persian king, not a Hebrew, but this Persian king, and how he becomes instrumental in sending the Israelites who are in this Babylonian exile back to Judah. So the Babylonians had come and destroyed Jerusalem, and they'd taken all these people to Babylon. They were there for about 50 years. The Persian king comes and destroys the Babylonians. And look how Isaiah reflects on what this Persian king has accomplished for the Jewish people. Cyrus is the only non-Hebrew who is called Anointed One in all of the Old Testament. Even more, God says to Cyrus, I have called you by name. You normally expect to hear these words about a prophet or about David the king. But to Cyrus, who is a Persian king, God says, I have called you by name, giving you a title, though you knew me not. So Cyrus does not even know what's going on. He does not even know that God has called him. He does not even know God. But God accomplishes through Cyrus what God wants. So the sense that we get is that God directs human history. The events of the world are in God's hands. And sometimes God invests human beings with power and authority. Yes, Cyrus had the authority to do it. He had the power. But it's God who invested him with that authority. And this is where we find the connection between the very intriguing gospel reading. Caesar may be the Roman emperor. He may be the Roman emperor. And he has power and he has authority. But what is due to him is only that petty little coin. So give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. What belongs to him? A little coin. Give it to him. But Jesus says, the human person. Human life, human history, human destiny, it belongs to God. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, his little coin. But the human person, human history, human destiny belongs to God. Give to God what belongs to God. In other words, if this creation and everything in it is God's, then we give to God what belongs to God, including everything in it, which includes Caesar. And so in the most strange way, even though Caesar is the Roman emperor and his emissary in Palestine, Pilate, condemned Jesus to death, in the strangest way, even Caesar and Pilate are only accomplishing what God has directed salvation history to accomplish. They do not know this, just like Cyrus. But that's exactly what is being accomplished. Give to God what belongs to God. So I want to offer three things for us to think about today about this whole idea of giving to God what belongs to God. I want to break it down into giving to God what belongs to God in me, giving to God what belongs to God in others, and then I want to connect these two to the Eucharist. So first, giving to God what belongs to God in me. So for a moment, I want us to consider the totality of our existence. So for example, I am an individual person. This is Satish, and you are who you are. And you can think of yourself as the totality of your existence, as yourself, but then also the extensions are higher. So for example, my parents are in India. They are part of me. My ministry here at Immaculate, it's part of me. My relationships, it's part of me. Everything that I have is an extension of me. So friends, family, work, and everything that help us to live meaningful lives is an extension of me. And here's what I'm asking. Is this all pure chance? The fact that I am here in Dayton, Ohio, which I had never heard of till I was 32 years old. I had never heard of Dayton, Ohio. What are the chances that what happened of me landing up here at Immaculate Conception Church is just pure chance? And then I have to think about the air I breathe, the water I drink, the food I eat, our activities, our leisure, every breath we take, every move we make. Who do we attribute that to? If as today's scripture says, God is indeed the one who directs human life and history, then the totality of our existence is God's gift to us, really. So for me to consider this parish community as God's gift to me changes how I look at it. And if you look at me as God's gift to you, it changes how we are in this relationship with each other. My parents are God's gift to me. That changes how I look at my parents. Everything else. So here's a little exercise for you and for me this week. Become aware of something that's very personal to you. Something that you don't want people to touch. Something that's very personal to you. Think about something very personal. It could be your family, your finances, your sexuality, your relationships, your career. Think about something that's very personal to you. Now, what would it mean for you to say, I'm taking this that is very personal and I'm placing it in God's hands. So here's Chelsea. Here are my car keys. This is something that's very personal to me. What does it mean for me to say, God, I give it to you? Would I conduct, knowing that this car now is in her hands, it's not mine, would I act differently? Would I conduct my affairs as far as this personal thing differently? Would you spend money differently if you knew that it's only God's gift to you and not something that is very personal to you? Would you approach sexuality differently if you gave it completely in God's hands? Would you treat people differently? Would you care for the earth differently? Would you treat yourself differently? Because you know that we've got to give to God what belongs to God. If your answer is yes, but there is something that is very personal to me, and I haven't yet put that completely in complete trust into God's hands, I've got some work to do. And I know there are areas in my life where I can say to God, dear God, I know I can trust you so much more, but let me, knowing that everything is a gift from you, let me give what belongs to you, to you. First point. Second, I want to talk about giving to God what belongs to God in others. For a moment, I want to talk about the coin and the image of Caesar on it. Folks, as Caesar did, Human beings can create things and put their image on it. So for example, I'm not an accomplished musician, but I've composed 2 or 3 songs. But I'm so proud that I can put my name next to it. It's my creation. And sometimes we can put our names on those things that we create. Picasso, famous paintings. But the human person is made in the image and likeness of God. It is God's image that is imprinted upon each one of us, every one of us. And sometimes we can also put our imprint on the human person. That is problematic. We can put our image on those things that we've created, but the human person, no. Nobody can put their image on the human person. The human person belongs unconditionally to God. And we do this when we assign dignity to the human person based on their wealth, their power, their status. Does not society treat people differently by what they own rather than who they are? So many examples these days. So when the two nurses who cared for Thomas Duncan got infected with the Ebola virus, the higher authorities, the powers that be, excused themselves and put the blame on the first line caregivers. Does wealth, power, and status give people the right to victimize others? Isn't that what was happening to Jesus in today's gospel reading? They laid a trap for him. Jesus understood their malice. They were trying to put their print on Jesus. And this continues to happen in our world today. Do you know that economic equality in the United States today is the widest in 100 years? Shouldn't it be the other way around? Why are we still battling racial prejudices? Should it not be the other way around? Why can we take innocent lives and call it human right? Why do we still tolerate lower wages for women for performing the same job? Last month, I had a conversation with a senior in high school. And she came to me after much coaxing, really. But she was talking about the turmoil in her heart because she finds herself attracted to her own gender. And she said to me, I prayed to God for 2 years to make me feel differently. So from the time she's been a sophomore, she's been praying, God, why am I feeling this way? Make me feel differently. She says, I prayed to God for 2 years that my feelings may go away, but it did not. And she said to me, I feel God has rejected me. I said to her, as a Catholic priest, I promise you this. I will not deny you your God-given human dignity. And I said to her that God loves you. But I don't think she believed me. She's a Catholic, and she stopped coming to church. What do we do with this? How, as a church, can we give people their dignity irrespective of who they are? It's a big question today. So whether it is sexuality, whether it is racial differentiation, whether it is wealth or whether it is status, somehow we've got to figure out a way to give to people the dignity that is due to them because it's God's image that's imprinted on them. Or sometimes we try to put our image on them. And thirdly, I want to talk about the Eucharist. Giving to God what belongs to God in me, and giving to God what belongs to God in others, somehow it needs to come together. And it comes together beautifully in the Eucharist. Folks, when the bread and wine is brought forward, and the priest lays it on the altar, and the priest lifts up the bread and the wine, here is the prayer the priest says. The priest says, "Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received this bread we offer you." Are you hearing me? Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have received this bread we offer you. Fruit of the earth and work of human hands, it will become for us the bread of life, or this our spiritual drink. In reality, even though we are offering bread and wine, the bread and wine symbolizes the totality of our human existence. Complete totality. So for example, the bread. We would not have the bread if God did not give us the earth, if there were no seeds, if God did not let the sun shine, if the rain did not come down, if there was no air, this little seed would not grow into a plant that would give us wheat. So this bread and wine really symbolizes all of the universe. Everything that goes into letting that seed grow and give, that is symbolized in the bread and the wine. But then the prayer says, work of creation, but then also the work of human hands. If the seed was not cared for by human beings, if somebody didn't harvest it, and after harvesting did not take it to the factory to be, and if nobody ground it and nobody baked it, we would not have bread or wine. So what are we saying? What God has given to us, we further develop through our human efforts. And here is what we say, may it become for us our spiritual food and drink. In other words, the bread and wine symbolize everything. What God is and what God has created. And in that simple bread and wine, we bring and we place it on the altar. And what does God do? God takes that bread and wine, which is given to us by God, and we give to God. God takes that bread and wine and makes it an even holier and real symbol of God's presence. So what God has given us, we give to God. God makes it something bigger. So may I ask you today, I'm requesting you today, as the bread and wine is brought forward, place yourself in the pattern and place yourself in the chalice. And think of who you are. All you are and all you have, everything, even the most personal thing. Really, just like I gave my keys and gave it to God, I want you to take yourself and put yourself in the pattern and the chalice. Everything that unconditionally give to God what belongs to God. If you give to God what belongs to God, what does God do? God takes the bread and wine and makes it something more marvelous. There's a miracle that happens here every Sunday. And what are the chances that if you gave everything that you have to God, that there would be a miracle? That God would take what you're giving God, your gifts, your talents, your treasure, everything, that God would make something more beautiful out of it. But it takes courage to lose control, to let go, to put it into God's hands. Because truly, God says to us, give to God what belongs to God. People of God said,